I will read John 8:36 for you. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus himself saying this, he said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, how we love you and praise you and thank you for loving us and caring for us the way you do. We thank you, Lord, for taking care of us the way you do, for being so kind and gentle and gracious and long-suffering with us. Lord, we just thank you for being the way you are and who you are and how you are. And we thank you for what you do and the way you do it and how you do it and when you do it. You're perfect. And Lord, forgive us when we second-guess you and when we doubt you, when we question you. We're just finite, Lord. I know that you know with our frame and you remember we're but dust. So thank you for taking all that into consideration. Now, my Father, I pray you'd bless us as we look into your word, that by your Holy Spirit you'd open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of your people to receive your word. I pray that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts and challenge us for the days and weeks and months and maybe years to come until the Lord comes, that we might stand strong, we might do right. I pray, my Father, you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. Well, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, we've had 2 weeks of patriotic services and messages. We have celebrated the nation's 250th birthday. And in preparation for those messages, I've read scores of articles and papers and archives about the founding fathers. There are literally thousands of quotes and hundreds of documents penned by the founding fathers themselves that establish the truth and certainty that America was founded as a Christian nation with Christian principles enshrined in its laws, the Bible being America's inspiration, the God of the Bible being America's God, and Christianity being the influence of America's culture. Only the willingly ignorant dispute these tangible and provable facts. And the more I read what these men said and see how they thought and realize what they did, the more impressed I am. Too many in this modern era like to look back and find all the flaws and pick at all the scabs of America's history. But are they so diligent at exposing the evils of socialism and the horrors of communism? No. Are they as vehement to criticize Marx and Lenin and Stalin or Mao as they are to criticize President Trump? No. I saw something in the founding fathers as patriots that I think we should find more consistently in Christians in this modern era. And I want to share those three things with you tonight. I saw, first of all, that these men, number one, made a declaration. In a world where few stand for anything, we could use some men and women who, like these men, are willing to take a stand to declare themselves this or that. These men declared themselves as patriots. They declared themselves as freedom fighters and liberty lovers. Their most famous declaration, of course, being the Declaration of Independence. And keep in mind that the colonists, they tried to stick it out as subjects to the crown, but Britain continually made it more and more difficult to acquiesce. The Declaration of Independence contains 27 grievances against England, which King George III refused to address. And so, a declaration had to be made. A declaration of independence that would allow the colonies to enjoy liberty and be a free nation. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Signed by order of and in behalf of Congress, John Hancock, the President of Congress. And they made a further declaration in the Constitution of the United States. Now, the Nation's Center for Constitutional Studies in 2026 listed the principles of the Constitution, of which I will only list a few. These are principles which the Founding Fathers insisted upon, and may I say, are found waning in these present days. Principle: a free people cannot survive under a Republican Constitution unless they remain virtuous and morally strong. Amen. Principle: the most promising method of securing a virtuous people is to elect virtuous leaders. Amen. Principle: without religion, the government of a free people cannot be maintained. Principle: all things were created by God. Therefore, upon him all mankind is equally dependent, and to him they are equally responsible. Principle: the proper role of government is to protect equal rights, not provide equal things. Boy, we're hearing different stuff than all this today, aren't we? Principle: life and liberty are secure only so long as the rights of property are secure. We're hearing politicians right now, especially in New York, that are talking about abolishing private property. The principles of the Constitution say that won't work. Principle: the core unit which determines the strength of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect its integrity. Now, principles are those beliefs by which a person lives and conducts him or herself. Our founding fathers, though far from perfect, you understand that, right? They were just flesh and blood. They were just men. They were human beings. I would like to see what you and I would do if we were given the responsibility to come up with a Declaration of Independence and a Constitution and a Bill of Rights. Wouldn't you sit in a room and go, what, what? I would like to see what we would do under the pressure and under the threat that they lived under, because they made a declaration. And so our founding fathers, though far from perfect, were principled men. Christians could take a lesson concerning being principled from our founding fathers. And a declaration is, in effect, a separation, isn't it? For when a person makes a declaration, they automatically separate themselves from one side or another. Doesn't the Bible tell us to come out from among them and be ye separate? Modern Christians need to make a declaration of dependence upon the true and living God. Amen. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our what? Our profession, our declaration. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The apostle Paul said, I'm making a declaration, and I'm not ashamed of it. And my declaration is the gospel of Christ. Our declaration of dependence upon God is also a declaration of independence from the tyranny of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And yea, how many grievances could we list against these tyrants, the world, the flesh, and the devil, who wish to mold us and shape us only to use us to do their ungodly bidding and then cast us into hell forever. We need to stand up, we need to show up, and we need to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ and proudly declare that we are not only Christians, but born-again Christians. And not only born-again Christians, but Bible-believing born-again Christians. I mean, a lot of people who say they're born-again, and they don't really believe the Bible. Not all of it. The parts they like. You see, we need a revival of declaration in our days. But these men also had something else. Number two, they possessed a dedication. Not only were the founding fathers willing and brave to make a declaration, but they were also men of dedication. Dedication to a cause. And the cause was the cause of liberty. Nothing ever gets done secularly or spiritually apart from dedication. It's dedicated people that get things done. It's dedicated people that see things accomplished. It's dedicated people that move things forward. The word dedication means self-sacrificing devotion and loyalty. These men had a self-sacrificing devotion and loyalty to forming a free nation. LegalClarity.org says this: the founding fathers' dedication to liberty and freedom shaped American law, inspired social movements, and influenced independence struggles worldwide. Their writings and actions established that freedom is both a natural right and a political responsibility, a truth that continues to guide the United States today. Now, these men had businesses, and they had farms, and they had occupations, and they had families, but they were dedicated to liberty to such a degree that they traveled arduously to meet and forge a nation conceived in liberty, and as Abraham Lincoln so eloquently said many years later, dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. I mean, they didn't have mass transportation. They didn't have air-conditioned vehicles with self-driving. They didn't have a McDonald's on every corner. They didn't have motels and hotels like we do today. They didn't have rest stops along the highway. Well, I guess they did. And they traveled by horseback. They were dedicated, weren't they? They had to come from long distances to gather together in Philadelphia. I mean, it wasn't like they're all from the neighborhood, you know? They traveled from other states, 13 colonies, to get to Philadelphia. Many of them previously became wealthy, dealing with the very country that they would now separate from and eventually go to war with. But they were dedicated to freedom, liberty, and justice more than they were dedicated to becoming richer. They had the interest of the colonies above their own interest. That's called dedication. And they, along with those who would follow, were dedicated to God as well. Those who pay no regard to religion and seriousness in the persons whom they send to the legislature of any state are guilty of the greatest absurdity and will soon pay dear for their folly. We are seeing that today, are we not? That was John Witherspoon, signer of the Declaration of Independence and president of Princeton University. If we don't take the seriousness and have regard to faith to the people we send to the legislature, we're guilty of absurdity. We're just sending anybody. We're sending crazy people to the legislature. We're sending socialists and communists to the legislature. Why? Because they're cute or they're funny, or because we have a, you know, bleeding heart liberal sense that we want to be woke. And he said we're going to pay the price. This was way back. We're paying the price. And if we don't wake up, we're going to pay a greater price. We have no government armed with the power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and true religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to govern of the government of any other. That's John Adams, our second president, in his address to military leaders. They set up this nation for a religious and moral people. And when we become irreligious, unreligious, and immoral, you can't, this government can't govern those kind of people. That's why you have to have socialism and communism, because that's like the hammer. You know, it's a hammer and sickle. You know, they either beat you into submission or cut your legs out from underneath you. The president, commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy, desires and enjoins the orderly observance of the Sabbath by the officers and men in the military and naval service. The importance for man and beast of the prescribed weekly rest, the sacred rights of Christian soldiers and sailors, a becoming deference to the best sentiment of a Christian people, and a due regard for the divine will demand that Sunday labor in the Army and Navy be reduced to the measure of strict necessity. The discipline and character of the national forces should not suffer nor cause the cause they defend be imperiled by the profanation of the day or name of the Most High. You know who said that? Abraham Lincoln in 1862. He said, I don't want the Navy and I want the Army. I don't want them doing anything they don't have to do on the Lord's Day. Why? Because we don't want to profane His day or His name. Well, we could get back to something like that, couldn't we? I know we don't have a Sabbath like the Jews did, that we're not allowed to, you know, travel and we're not allowed to do this and do that. But it really irks me when I'm driving to church on Sunday and I see people cutting their grass and washing their cars and, you know, barbecuing and all that. Well, they used to go to church on Sunday, the country. Abraham Lincoln is probably rolling over in his grave, so to speak. If men could so nobly dedicate themselves to the founding and furthering of a nation, should not the Christian be able to dedicate him or herself to the Savior of souls? We are seeing a weakening and a resolve to perpetuate the freedom and liberty to which the forefathers dedicated their lives and brought forth to us. Socialism and communism are making inroads into America's politics and will, if allowed to go on, eventually decimate the America our forefathers labored for and so many people gave their lives for. We're also seeing a weakening in the resolve of Christian leaders, preachers, and parishioners, a weakening of the resolve to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Neo-evangelicalism, liberalism, and interdenominationalism are watering down the doctrine of the faith and will diminish the doctrines our forefathers so diligently fostered. I'm talking about our spiritual forefathers. We have men and women who gave their lives for the Word of God to be published. We have people who gave their lives and shed their blood for the spiritual freedom in this country, to open our Bibles. Many have gone to foreign lands and shed their blood and died for the cause of Christ. Where is the Christian dedication to the Lord that brought them and bought them? Where's their dedication to doctrine, their dedication to holiness and godliness? Where is our dedication to service and our dedication to telling others? Where is the contending? Where is the standing? And where is their fighting of the good fight of faith? But dedication also requires separation, doesn't it? For dedication demands a leaving of something for something else. For the Christian, it would be leaving the leaving of the self causes for the cause of Christ, on one level or another, to one degree or another. You hear what I just said? Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, listen, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You see the challenge to dedication? The challenge is to pick up the baton that our spiritual forefathers have handed to us and run with it the same way they ran with it. Our forefathers had the character to dedicate themselves to the cause of a new nation. Should not the Christian have the character to dedicate themselves to the new life? And this dedication is one of being one of the body. Romans 12:1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." This dedication means I give my body. I dedicate it to the work of God, to the cause of Christ, and to the Lord Jesus. It involves our heart. 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." It involves the mind. Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It includes our emotions. Colossians 3:2, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." See the dedication? It's turning from the self-causes to the cause of Christ. It also involves the soul. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." You know, the tabernacle and the temple were dedicated to God. Our church building is dedicated to God and for His use. That's why there's certain things we just don't do in here, in this building. We won't allow in this building. That's why we don't rent it out for weddings and bar mitzvahs and all that kind of stuff, parties. We could build our building with the money that we could get for renting this place out. But it's God's. It's dedicated to Him. Amen. But our bodies are now the temple of God. And we are the church. 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" If they dedicated a physical temple, and they dedicated a physical tabernacle, can't we dedicate our bodies, which are the tabernacle of God? We need a revival of dedication in our days. And my third point is this. These founding fathers, not only, you know, did they have a possession of dedication and a making of declaration, but number three, they had a demonstration of determination. Determination, what is that? It's the quality of being determined. It means firmness of purpose. The ability to continue trying to do something, although it is very difficult. Now, I've told you from time to time, my wife will say to me, "You're stubborn." And I say, "No, honey, I'm not stubborn. I'm just determined." And she laughs. Our founding fathers were determined to see the establishment of a new nation of liberty and freedom at all costs and against all odds. They knew it would not be easy, but they went ahead anyway. They knew that signing the Declaration of Independence would have put a price on their heads, and they signed it anyway. They knew that they would have to fight against overwhelming odds, and they fought anyway. You have a ragtag bunch of 13 little colonies with no navy and no army, going against the power of the world, Great Britain. That doesn't even make sense. That's like one of the kids from the nursery coming out here and let's get in a fight. It's like David going up against Goliath. But they were determined, weren't they? Why? Because they were dedicated and they had made a declaration and they're not turning back. Know that more modern day Christians had such determination, such resolve, and such resoluteness. Our founding fathers and those who walked in their footsteps had purpose demonstrated by their determination to build a nation. Should not the Christian have as much, no more, purpose demonstrated by our determination to advance the cause of Christ? This nation probably would have never got off the ground if our founding fathers had the same determination and dedication that most Christians have today. I tell you, the only reason the church is still at working is because Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's his church. If he wasn't in this thing, it'd be... And the steep slopes, the wide valleys, and the muddy road to freedom did not dim their vision. And they were willing to pay the price. Did you ever wonder what happened to the signers of the Declaration? Let me share it with you. Five signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners, men of means, well-educated. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ships swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts. He died in rags. Thomas McKeem was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in the Congress without pay. If we had asked that today, we wouldn't have a Congress. That's how people become multimillionaires, you know. Just go to Congress. He served in the Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals or soldiers looted the properties of Dillery, Hall, Clymer, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted, now listen to this, that the British General Cornwallis had taken over the Nelson home for his headquarters. He quietly urged General George Washington to open fire. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. Wow, that takes character, doesn't it? Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within a few months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his grist mill were laid to waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves, returning home to find his wife dead and his children vanished. These men were dedicated, and they were determined at all costs. And yet so many Christians cannot be inconvenienced. We cannot be disrupted or burdened or bothered with anything for Jesus that might require us to be stretched beyond our present comforts. Could you imagine these signers of the Declaration of Independence offering up some of the lame excuses that modern Christians so easily put forth? Should not we who name the name of Christ be just no more willing to do our reasonable service? They lived in hard times and fought a war and hazarded all for the cause of liberty. We live in luxury and good times and yet find it difficult to jeopardize the slightest comfort or convenience for the cause of Christ. And determination requires, guess what? Separation. A separation from our own laziness, our own apathy, and our own lukewarmness. And our propensity to give up and give in and give out in difficult times. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Well, what temptation? How about the temptation to quit? Blessed is the man that endureth the temptation to quit and doesn't quit. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark." That sounds like determination to me. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. "But Daniel purposed," or determined, "in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank." And then Galatians 6 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we" what? "Faint not." Are we determined? We need a revival of determination today, don't we? Our forefathers made a declaration, they possessed a dedication, and they demonstrated a determination for the establishment of a nation. How much louder ought our declaration be made? How much deeper a dedication should we possess? And how much a greater determination ought we to demonstrate who have the power of the living God resident within us? The battles are not over. The job is not done. And we will hand our nation, will we hand our nation over to the socialists and communists? And will we hand the church over to the liberals and the compromisers? Will we allow our freedoms to be taken away and the faith once delivered to the saints to be lost? Will we allow the tyranny of politicians and pundits and the perverse to capture America? Will we allow the tyranny of the world, the flesh, and the devil to rule our hearts and minds? Or will we, as Christians and Americans, allow a revival of declaration, a revival of dedication, and a revival of determination to, by the blessing and good grace of God, propel us forward and enable us to preserve something worth handing down to successive generations until the Lord Jesus comes? This is our time to hand an America to another generation. What kind of America will we hand them? This is our time to hand the faith once delivered unto the saints down to another generation. What kind of a faith are we going to hand down to our children and our grandchildren? Will we be twice free from tyranny? Only you can answer that for yourself and your family. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's bow for a word of prayer. I ask you, dear Christians, do you love the Lord Jesus? Do you love the United States of America? You do, that's great. What kind of citizen and what kind of saint have you been? And do you plan to be? We are on the precipice of national and spiritual revival or national and spiritual suicide. If the tip of the balance depended on the kind of American and the kind of Christian that you are and have been, which way will the balance go? Come and give yourself to God for revival and see what God can do through His people who are called by His name. But perhaps you're here tonight and you've never been saved. You've never been born again by the Lord Jesus. You have no liberty and no freedom because you are shackled to your sin. There's nothing you can do about it. No amount of good works, no amount of religion and ritual, and no amount of prayers and fasting has the power to break the yoke of your bondage. Men and women for centuries have been trying to free themselves with these impotent tools to no avail. There's only one who can set you free, and His name is Jesus of Nazareth, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. The Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And He said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Maybe you're here tonight, my dear friend, and you've never been saved. You've never been born again. You're religious and you go to church, maybe even read your Bible and pray, but you know you've never been saved. You know you've never been born again. Why don't you take care of that tonight? If you'd like to receive Christ as your personal Savior tonight, why don't you look up at me? And you and I can spend a moment together, just you and I, in prayer to God, and you can pray for the salvation of your soul as you trust Christ as your Savior. Anybody like that here tonight? Just look up at me until I see you. I'll know that you want to pray with me and trust Christ, and we'll do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the great country in which we live and for the men and women of our history that forged such a great nation, endured such deprivations. But Father, our Christian faith is filled with even greater than these. Martyrs who gave themselves for the cause of Christ and shed their blood for the propagation of the gospel. Endangered their lives to take the gospel around the world. Heavenly Father, we need a revival of declaration that will say who we are and not be ashamed. We need a revival of dedication that, Father, will dedicate ourselves to the cause of Christ more than the cause of self. And we need a revival, my Father, of determination that will do good and faint not, not get weary in well-doing. Help us, Lord, to trust you for the grace and power to carry on for the cause of Christ. Bless our invitation. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing our closing hymn, which is number 581, Only Trust Him, maybe you'd like to come this evening and just spend a couple minutes with the Lord and say, "Lord, thank you for America. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the freedoms we have physically and spiritually." Maybe you need to come tonight and rededicate your life and say, "Lord, I've slipped a little bit. I've grown a little weary. I've quit. I've given up. I've slowed down. Father, I want to rededicate myself to the cause of Christ." Maybe you've lost your determination. Why don't you come and find it again tonight at the cross? And if you have any questions about being saved, I'd like to meet you right over here. We'll help you with that, all right? As we sing on the first, "You Come As the Lord Leads," 581.